Baruchim Abayim to another week of Parsha Insights, Parsha's Vayeshev. What can I say? We're giving it in Gan Ariel. So if I don't say, and if you're listening in the Heichal, the recording of when it's sent out, we have to keep emes. And tonight we're giving it in Gan Ariel. Baruchim Abayim. The Shira said, L'zeicha Nishmas, L'ilei Nishmas, your dear parents. Rebecca Bas Serina, Elion Ben Rachel, may their neshamot tahiras have a lichta v'gan Eden. This week is also sponsored by Mrs. Debbie Cash to commemorate the 21st yard site of her father. The yard site was today Yutes Kislev, Harav Yitzchok Pinchos, Ben Reb David. We're very grateful to Mrs. Debbie Cash for her sponsorship of this year. And please keep in mind that it's being said, L'zecher Nishmas U'le'ilei Nishmas, her father, again, the yard site was today, the 19th of Kislev. It was the 21st yard site, Harav Yitzchok Pinchos Ben Reb David. May the shir indeed be L'zecher U'le'ilei Nishmasai. We'll begin with something that I think we've spoken about in the past. And then, Be'ezer Hashem, let's try to tie something that at first glance doesn't seem to be on the same wavelength of what we're saying, but I think that a deeper look will show that it is. Allow me to explain. Let's begin with something we've spoken about in the past, and that is that you find in the parsha the word vayimain, and he refused twice. It's a word that is very uncommon, and yet I think we've spoken about over the years in previous shiurim that you find in this parsha the usage of that very uncommon word twice. Once, when Yaakov Avinu refused Vayimain to be comforted about Yosef, and of course later on in the famous episode with the wife of Potiphar and Yosef HaTzadik and his refusal to commit any aveir with her, again the pasuk says Vayimain. The first one that I referenced was that when he saw, he being Yaakov Avinu the son, his son's coat, I should say, he called out that a beast devoured him. He was torn to pieces. And as the pasuk says, that although Vayakumu Chalbonu V'chol B'noisu L'Nachmai, all of his sons and daughters got up to give him comfort and be Menachem him, Vayimain L'Hisnachem, he refused to be comforted. The second one I was referring to is later on in the parsha, about three parakim later, when it says that she tried to make her advances and to get him to commit an aveira, vayimain, he refused. Is there a connection between these two usages of the word vayimain, a very uncommon word, used twice within a few prakim, very different episodes, very different, one about father, one about son? Is there a possible connection between Yosef's not sinning and Yaakov refusing to be comforted? Let's begin the journey tonight properly. Let's talk about why indeed Yaakov Avinu refused to be comforted when he heard or saw or thought about Yosef. Rashi tells us something very famous. Again, this is a Rashi we've spoken about in the past. Ein misnachem be'ish al mishu choshev meisei v'hu chai. A person is not comforted about someone that he believes to be dead but is actually alive. Let's repeat that again. If somebody thinks that a person is dead, but in actuality that person is really alive, that person refuses to be comforted because there's that feeling, as Rashi goes on to say, Ein halev shecheach me'achai, the heart never forgets someone who's living. So if you refuse to be comforted, in a sense, Mr. Lawyer, that means that's a, and we share the same last thing, that means that that's a good sign, because if you think the person's dead, but your heart is not allowing you to be comforted, that means since the heart doesn't forget a person who's still alive, then obviously Yosef is still living. Hence Rashi says, Vayimain lehisnachem, he refused to be comforted. Now the obvious question, and Baruch Hashem, we do have a very large oil tonight in the Gan, so there I'll say it from the beginning. If you're listening and enjoying seeing the shir here live in the Gan, Gan Ariel, Or you're hearing the recording now, or you'll be from the many to Obez Hashem here when it's sent out. Surely you have the question that many Mefarshim ask. I'm so confused over here. So did Yaakov think Yosef was dead or alive? If anything, everything that we've spoken about the last 5 minutes should lead Yaakov Avinu in the direction that his son is not dead. So if his son is not dead, then wouldn't he be happy? But I'm not so sure what's going on over here. Vayimaylich Nachem refused to be comforted, and he thought he was dead. No. But if somebody thinks a person is dead, but the heart really senses, the heart, the soul knows that the person's alive, then that person refuses to be comforted because the heart knows the truth and the reality. So that's actually a very good thing. So wouldn't Yaakov then have realized Yosef is still alive? I'm grateful to my bookman. He brought to my attention a pshat from the Chidah, and I think this pshat is incredible. If you came to tonight's shiur just for the Chidah, I think it was more than worth it. In answering the question that Moshe Mefarshim asked, shouldn't Yaakov Avinu have realized Yosef was still alive? How would he know Yosef is still alive? Because by Yimayim Lisnachem, his heart is not allowing him to be comforted, and your heart will not, you know, allow yourself to be comforted if a person is really still alive. So the Chidah says so beautifully. He explains the pasuk that it says, all of his sons and daughters got up to comfort him. But if you take a look, it doesn't seem to say what nichum did they do. What words of comfort did they say? You know, it's almost reminding me of the famous pasuk in the beginning of Bereishis when it says that Cain got up and he said to Hevel and he killed him. What did he say? The pasuk doesn't record what he said. Similarly over here it says that all his sons got up and all his daughters got up and they went ahead and they offered him words of comfort. What were those words of comfort? The next two words that the pasuk says, Vayimoyin lehisnachem, he refused to be comforted. Says the Chidah, those were the words! Those were the words! Those two words, Vayimoyin lehisnachem, that he refused to be comforted, those words were precisely the nechama that his children gave him. They were telling their father, Vayimoyin lehisnachem, the fact that you refuse to be comforted, the fact that you cannot be consoled, that's the greatest proof. Yosef must still be alive, based on the Rashi I've told you already a few times. What a marvelous, novel way of reading the pasuk. The words of comfort and consolation that his children gave to their father was precisely Vayimoyin lehisnachem. The fact that you refuse to be comforted, the fact that you cannot be consoled, is what they told their father is the greatest proof your son must still be alive. But then we're back to the original question. If you take a look at the pasuk, Lamed Zayin, Lamed Hey, the pasuk says, Vayef Oisei Oviv, he wept, Bechiyah, he cried over his son. But if everything we've spoken about in the shir until now leaned and proved again and again that his son was still alive, why then, perhaps it was a glaring question of the night, Vayef Oisei Oviv, why is he crying and weeping over his son if his son is indeed alive? Now that's a powerful question, Rabbi Isai, and I see from everyone's rapt attention in the Gan Ariel, you clearly, clearly get the question. So, Reb Moshe Sternbach, Shlita, our Pesach Hadar, gives what is one of the most powerful answers, but I think it's not only a powerful answer, it's incredible, I took it as an incredible insight into parenting, into the chinuch of our children. And dare I say, I don't just mean our biological children. I mean the many of our brothers and sisters that don't know the beauty of a Shabbos or the importance of a Pesach Seder or the joy of a Chanukah Menorah. Now I'm getting ahead of myself because I didn't even give you Reb Moshe Sternbach's answer, but I was comfortable with what I said, so please keep it in mind. Reb Moshe Sternbach, in addressing the question we just asked, why would he weep if all the signs led to his son still being physically alive? I actually just gave away the answer by saying physically alive. And Ramesha Sternbach explains, you're right. From the fact that he refused to be comforted, and from those being the words that the Chida said that the sons and daughters said to him, he knew his son was physically alive. So if he knew his son was physically alive, why did he cry? Rav Moshe Sternbach explains, because now there was reason for deeper concern and potentially more anguish now that he knows that indeed his son Yosef HaTzadik is alive, because Yaakov is starting to realize he's living on his own. And he's living in a very, very dangerous world, and I don't mean a dangerous world necessarily in the physical sense. It's a spiritually dangerous world out there where one is constantly exposed to threats to their ruchnius, to their spirituality. The knowledge that his son was alive is precious Yosef, but living in a spiritually dangerous world that was a constant, constant threat to his ruchnius, that knowledge left him no comfort. That knowledge gave him no nechama at all, because if he was living physically, but it was without any spiritual security, that's not a comforting thought to a parent, is it? In fact, Rav Moshe Sternbach brings down a beautiful raya. The Pasuk tells us that when it says he refused to be comforted, the Pasuk goes on to say, I'm going to go down to my grave mourning over my son, Ered El Bini Ovel She'ola. So he wants to say so powerfully, this was not just referring to going down to his own grave, but you know there's an expression that a parent will go to the ends of the world for a child. A parent will go to the end of the earth for a child. That word she'ola, representing Gehenim, is another way of saying that Yaakov Avinu was saying, I'm willing to go and to descend she'ola to the ends of the earth, to the end of the world, even as far as she'ola, even as far as all the way there, if it means protecting my son Yosef from sin. If he's alive and he's facing danger, I will do whatever I can to possibly go ahead and save him. He's alive, but he's spiritually distressed. He's physically okay, perhaps, but something is attacking constantly his ruchnius. Vayimo'im lehisnochim. He refused to be complacent. He refused to stop. I will move mountains. I will shake heaven. I will go she'ola to the end of the earth to do anything to save my son. Now that's an unbelievable shot. That means that he knew his son was physically alive, but the thought of the spiritual onslaught and danger that he was potentially going through, that was such a grave, grave danger. He refused to be comforted. He refused any consolation. How can I be okay with myself when I know my child is alive, but spiritually in such danger? Before we get back to this pshat, I'm going to interject. A year or two ago, I mentioned to the Olam, and by the way, before I share that which I just started to say, that I shared with the Olam a year or two ago, now you could appreciate the comment I made before we introduced Rav Moshe Sternbach's pshat, and that is, I think this concept of worrying sick, of going to the ends of the world, is not only referring to our physical children, our biological children. I mentioned a few moments ago, there's countless of our brothers and sisters that don't know the beauty of a Shabbos, the importance of a Seder, or the magnificence of a Chanukah Menorah. So how are we okay with that? You and I, how are we okay with that? I'm not saying that we are, but are we going to She'ola, to the ends of the earth, to help be Mekarev, to help bring them back? How about we take out from tonight's shiur a new approach? I just thought of it. You know all the countless brothers and sisters that don't know the difference between Yom Kippur or Sukkot or have no clue about the beauty of a Torah home? How about this? How about if we refuse to be comforted about them? How about if we refuse to be consoled about them? In other words, I see them in the street. I pass them in the market. I may pass them when I go to my seat in the airplane, or I might be davening at the kaisel. I see them. I know that they're physically alive, but spiritually they don't know and share the same beauty of our Torah lifestyle. So how about we leave here tonight refusing to be comforted, refusing to be consoled, vayimoyin lehisnachem, and be willing she'oila to move mountains, to shake heavens, to go to the end of the earth to do something? How about that? And you don't have to be a cure professional or involved in some organization to be able to do this. Everybody. You pass people perhaps on a daily basis, and it may not take much to help not only them physically, but more importantly, spiritually. Maybe if we took the approach, Vayimoyim Lisnach, and we refused to be at ease. How about that? Now let's get back to the pshat that I mentioned about a year or two ago. This is actually from the Pikeach Hadar, Agadol Hadar of Yankov Kamenetsky. If you take a look in Sefer Emes Liakov, as I did last night, he actually brings it down in a number of places, most notably Perek Lamazayit Posuk Gimel. I enjoy, just on a personal note, I used my father's Emes Liakov last night when preparing, and when I turned to this Dvar Torah, as my father's Hatzal so often did with a red marker, he marked up the pshat with his red pen. It was very, very marked up. So I appreciated saying a Dvar Torah that was so valuable to him. Reb Yaakov Kamenetsky, as we said about 2 years ago, is addressing a different issue. Now, when you hear it at first, you might say, how does that tie into the Chidah? How does that tie into Reb Moshe Sternbach? I think it ties in beautifully. Let me explain. Yaakov Avinu spent 14 years learning in the yeshiva of Shem Ve'ever. Famously, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky wants to know why. Yaakov stayed by his parents until he was 63 years old. Now, what do you think he did in the home of his father, Yitzchak and Rivka? What do you think he did? Why don't you answer? What do you think he did for over 60 years? With his father, he learned Torah, and he learned more Torah. So if he learned over 6 decades of Torah with his father, Yitzchak, why was it so essential that before going to Lavan and that part of his life, he had to go to the yeshiva of Shem Ve'ever? New Rabbeisai, is that a kasha? Famously, as I told you in a few different places, Rabbi Yaakov answers and explains. You must realize the unique nature of the Torah that was taught in the yeshiva of Shem Ve'ever. What was the type of Torah that you think Yaakov learned in the home of Yitzchak and Rivka until the age of 63? Holy Torah. Incredible Torah. But he was in a sheltered environment. He was surrounded by his righteous parents. He was surrounded by Yitzchak and Rivka in such an incredible household. But now, he's starting a very different life. He's going to Haran and entering the house of a type of person he's never been exposed to. Lavan Haramai. He was going to find himself in such incredibly wicked company. Rabbi Yankov explains that required, listen to this carefully, it's so profound, that required Yaakov Avinu to start learning a different type of Torah. He needed to start, and by that I mean it would be a Torah that would teach him, how do I dwell amongst somebody like Lavan? How do I dwell amongst someone that cheats, a scoundrel, and still remain the Tumim, whole and pure? For that he needed specifically a different type of yeshiva, that of Shem and Aver. Why? Shane grew up in the generation of the Mabel of the flood. Those people we know, so degenerate, but Kamalei Ha'aretz Chomos. Aver as well was born and lived in the Dar HaFlaga. That generation, those evil men who were seeking to build a tower up to the sky to rebel against Hashem. So that means Shame and Aver were very, very well equipped. They were there. They knew what it was like to reside and live and have to deal with the wicked, the scoundrels, the cheats, those evil people, those who are morally and spiritually destructive, and yet they remained so incredibly righteous. It was they, only they, even more than Yitzchak and Rivka, that would be capable of teaching Yaakov the type of Torah he needed to remain pure in such impure surroundings that he was about to enter. Wow, is that a pshat? Of course, nothing could compare to the Torah of Yitzchak and Rivka in purity and that beautiful environment. But now an added dimension, a different dimension was required because he was about to start a time of his life meeting people that he had not yet been accustomed to. So Shem and Aver, who knew about those types of wicked people from the Dar HaMabel and the Dar HaFlaga, they were perfectly, perfectly equipped to teach Yaakov that type of Torah. What type of Torah? How to remain pure in an impure environment. In fact, Reb Yankiv uses this to explain the Medrash that says everything Yaakov Avinu learns from Shem and Aver. By the way, this is going to tie the shir together, I think. Everything that he learned from Shem and Aver, he passed on to his son Yosef HaTzadik. Now, didn't he also pass on his Torah to his other sons, the Shvatim? He only passed on the Torah to Yosef? And why does it say that he passed on to Yosef the Torah that he learned and shame from Shem and Aver? What about the Torah that he learned from his father? So Rabbi Yaakov uses the same Yosef to explain so beautifully. Of course the Torah that Yaakov Avinu learned in his parents' home, he taught that to all his children. All his children. But the particular Torah that he learned from Shem and Aver, that he passed on specifically to who? Specifically to Yosef. Why to Yosef? Because he understood from that which was told to his grandfather, Avram Avinu, Yosef is going to need it. He's going to be destined to be thrown into Eretz Mitzrayim. He's going to be living in the most immoral, debased, and the decadent society in planet Earth. He's going to need it to withstand all alone and by himself all that the surroundings throw at him. The Mela. While it's true, says of Yaakov, that the Torah that Yaakov Avinu learned in his parents' home, he taught to all his children, but the Torah that he learned by Shem and Aver, that was passed on specifically to Yosef, because he would need it the most. As Yaakov would need it against the lovers of the world, Yosef would need to be equipped with that Torah of Shem and Aver against the Mitzrayim, Paro, and the immoral society. And that's why it was specifically that Torah that was passed on to Yosef to help him when he was faced with all of those challenges. So maybe we could say that's the other side of the coin that we learned from Reb Moshe Sternbach. Yaakov Avinu is a parent who did everything for his son to prepare him and to equip him and to get him ready for his future traveling, his future with everything, the challenges and vicissitudes of life, from the wife of Potiphar to Mitzrayim to Paro to everything. I just told you, from Reb Yankiv Kamenetsky, he prepared him and he taught him. He taught him and prepared him the Torah of Shem and Aver. So he did. Yet with it all, you nailed it. Yet as much as a parent prepares a child, a parent is still a parent. And with it all, Rav Moshe Sternbach is saying that as much as he prepared him with the Torah, Shem, and Aver, the knowledge that his son is alive, but spiritually exposed, spiritually in potential danger, spiritually going through all of those challenges and vicissitudes, Vayimayim lehisnachim. In other words, he didn't rest on his laurels and say, well, I prepared him. Well, I taught him. So now I'll just enjoy. You prepared him. You taught him. But a parent still worries. A parent still worries for a child. As much as he prepared him, as much as we learned from the Chidah, as much as we learned from Rav Moshe Sternbach, perhaps we could say as much as he prepared his child, still by Yimoyim Lesnochem, because the knowledge and the reality that there is so much spiritual danger out there. A parent doesn't stop. A parent doesn't give up. A parent keeps davening. Myra Verabai say, oh, does a parent keep davening and davening and davening and davening? And so I believe tonight's two segments are two sides of the same coin. As much as Yaakov Avinu prepared and equipped his son Yosef, still, Vayimoyin Lesnachem, because a parent is a parent, and that worry, I will keep davening and davening and davening until I know their spiritual security and safety. We've mentioned many times that by a bris, one of the Harachaman said after a bris is that of, you know, the Harachamans by the end of benching, that the parent should merit legadloi, lechanchoi, ulechakmoi, to raise the child, to educate the child, and to make him wise. Some have the girsa, the version that numbers 3 and 2, 2 and 3, are switched. And it says legadlo, lechakmo, ulechancho, to raise him, to make him wise, a chacham, and then to educate him. And the question begs to be asked, if you've already successfully made him a chacham, and you've raised him properly, your child, and they're already wise, so what's the next stage of lechancho, to educate? If education is before I understand. But if he's already a chacham wise and he or she's on her own feet doing wonderfully, what's the chinuch after that? I think with tonight's shot, we answered it beautifully. Based on what we said, that a parent keeps davening, a parent keeps worrying, a parent keeps wanting to know that there's security and serenity for their child, that's what the harachama means. Legadloi may we merit to raise our children. Lechachmoi may they be wise, out upstanding, wonderful people, raising families of their own. But that doesn't mean we're finished. Even after lechachmoi, still, lechanchoi, lechanchoi, lechanchoi. It's our job to keep educating, to keep worrying, to keep davening. The fact that Siyata Nishmaya gave us success, lechachmoi, they've been raised to start families on their own, never stops a parent of continuing the chinuch. And I want to end with one final comment, and that is a well-known shot from the Philadelphia Rosh Hashiva Rebbe Yosei. Yosef knew that his father did so much to prepare him. His father went for 14 years to Shem and Aver to prepare himself and then to prepare him. Yosef knew his father's love, his father's concern, his father's commitment. And surely when Yosef was being challenged by Eshes Potiphar, he remembered that love, care, concern, and commitment so as not to commit Aveira. Rashi famously tells us that what Yosef did and stopped him from sin, Rashi says, Sheniras loy, he saw the Mustiyukna shel Aviv. I think that's really a famous Rashi. The Mustiyukna shel Aviv, which I think everybody translates to mean, he saw the image of his father. And we saw the image of his father. How could I let him down? That's my father. That's the image of my father. Look what he did for me, the 14 years, Shem and Aver, always worrying, always caring, always preparing. So Rashi says, let's repeat the words again as we conclude the shir. He saw demus diyukna shel aviv. He saw his father's image. Reb Eliezer famously said, don't translate Rashi to mean that what Yosef saw that kept him from Aveira was he saw his father's image. Read Rashi more literally. Rashi says that what did he say? What did he see? Dimus diyuknoi shel aviv. Diyuknoi doesn't mean his father's image. It means he saw the image his father had of him. Wow, is that a different shot? Not that he saw his father's image. He saw dimus diyuknoi shel aviv. The image that his father had of him. He saw his own image of what his father expected of him, anticipated from him, believed he could accomplish. And when he saw the musti yuknoishal of him, the image his father had of him, expected and believed he could become, that kept him away from Aveira with the wife of, with Ashes Potiphar. And so as we look in the chinuch of our own children and the many out there that are our children, they're our brothers and sisters, we think not only of the relationship of our parents and our great leaders, but we think of the image and impression that they have of you and me. And of you and me, the impression is that we will continue. Even after the chachma, we still educate. Even after we prepare them, we still daven and worry. We still keep going with our davening and our worrying so that we can try to give our children and all of Hashem's children spiritual security. I hope, Ezus Hashem, for our families and Gantz Klal Yisrael, especially as we approach Hanukkah, Tovshin Peivav Habaleinu L'Toiva, that we're taka zeicha when we light the menorah, to see that we light the neshama within every one of the beautiful yidim. Yes, there may be many that don't know the beauty of Hanukkah, but vayimayim leisnachem, we're going to refuse to be comforted. We will continue worrying. We will continue davening, and the Ezus Hashem. All will be zeichet to both physical and spiritual security. I wish everyone in advance of Hanukkah a lichtige, lichtige Hanukkah.